We are beginning Daf Kuf Yud Beis, Omid Beis, the middle of the Omid, actually Hukam HaMishkan. We're continuing with the Mishnah. Until this point, we have learned in the previous Perek and in this Mishnah that if someone is makriv a korban outside of the Beis HaMikdash or outside of the Mishkan, that he is mechuyev karis for Shchutei Chutz. Now the Mishnah tells us that this Isser does not always apply. There were times when bamais, when private mizbeches, which could be built in any place, were permitted, and a person was allowed to build a mizbech for himself and to be makriv a korban on that mizbech. This is called a bama, and the Mishnah will speak about six distinct periods concerning this halacha of being makriv on a bama. The six periods are, the first, before the Mishkan was erected, before the Mishkan and the Midbar was put up. The second period concerning the Isser of Bamis is when the Mishkan was standing in the Midbar, when Klal Yisrael was in the Midbar. The third period is when they came into Eretz Yisrael, the 14 years when they were conquering and dividing Eretz Yisrael, and the Mishkan was then set up in Gilgal. The fourth period is when the Beis Hashem was in Shiloh. This was a period of 369 years until it was destroyed in the days of Eli HaKoyen. The fifth period is after the destruction of Shiloh, when they set up the Beis Hashem in Noiv, first in Noiv and then in Givon. This was a total of a period of 57 years. And after that, the sixth period is when the Beis HaMikdash was built by Shlomi HaMelech in Yerushalayim. Says the Mishnah, actually, Hukam HaMishkan, until the Mishkan was set up, before the Mishkan was set up in the Midbar, Hoyu HaBomois Mutaris, and Bomois were permitted. It was permitted. Because the entire Parsha of Shchutei Chutz in Achrei Mois is discussing someone who, instead of bringing his Korbanos to the Mishkan, El Pesach El Moed Loi Hevioi, shechs them outside. So it's obvious from the Parsha that it is only to be applied from the time that the Mishkan was built. Before the Mishkan was built, it was permitted to be makriv any place a person can set up a private Mizbech and be makriv a Korban. And the Avoida was done by the Bechairis, by the firstborn. The Kohenim had not yet been set aside for to do the Avoida. Rather, the Avoida was done by the Bechairis. And as Rashi brings, we find concerning Har Sinai, Vayishlech Esnare B'nei Yisrael V'yalu Oilois, that he sent the lads of B'nei Yisrael. And they were Makriv Oilois, and Nare B'nei Yisrael means the Bechairis. So before the Mishkan was set up, the Avoida was done by the Bechairis. Umishahukam HaMishkan, Nesru HaBomais, from the time that the Mishkan was set up, then the Bomais were forbidden. That's the entire parsha of Shchutei Chutz, which says that now that there is a Mishkan, you have to bring all of your korbanos to the Mishkan, and someone who shechs outside is Mechuyev Kares. And the Avoida is done by the Koyhanim. As it says in the Torah, after the Mishkan was set up, Kravel HaMizbech, it says to Aaron, you now go close to the Mizbech, and that was, from that point on, the Avoida had to be done only by Koyhanim. The Kodesh Kedoshim were eaten within the curtains of the Beis HaMikdash. Those Kodesh Kedoshim which are eaten, Chatas, Asher, Mincha, were eaten within the curtains that surrounded the Chotzer of the Oyel Mayed, the courtyard of the Mishkan. The Kodesh Kalim, Bechol Machane Yisrael, and Kodesh Kalim were eaten throughout the Machane Yisrael, the encampment of Klal Yisrael. So wherever Klal Yisrael were encamped, the entire camp around the Mishkan, where the Dgolim were, this was the place which was considered to be Machane Yisrael, and that is where Kodesh Kalim were eaten. Those Kodesh Kalim, such as a Shlomim, a Toida, which don't have to be eaten within the Kloyim, within the Machane Shechina, within the courtyard of the Oyel Mayed, then the halacha is that they are eaten Bechol Machane Yisrael. Says the Mishnah, Bo Le Gilgal, when they crossed the Yarden and they came into Eretz Yisrael to Gilgal, and they set up the Mishkan, the very same Mishkan they set up in Gilgal, and they were involved in conquering and dividing Eretz Yisrael for 14 years. And in that period, the Mishkan was in Gilgal. Who through HaBomis? We learn that the Bomis became Mutter, that the Parsha of Shchutei Chutz no longer applied. And although the Mishkan was there in Gilgal, and there what is referred to as the Boma Gedoyla, the Boma Tzibur, the main Boma of the Mishkan which served everyone, but it was Mutter for any individual also to set up a Boma and to be Makriv on it any place. Kodshe Kedoshim Necholon Lifnim Min HaKloyim. Kodshe Kedoshim could only be eaten within the curtains of the Mishkan in Gilgal, as Rashi explains, because the Kodshe Kedoshim which are eaten, Chatas Oshem, were not brought on a Boma Ketana. They were only brought on the main Boma, the Boma Gdoila, which was in the Mishkan in Gilgal, and also a Mincha is not brought on a Boma, and therefore those Kodshim Kalim which were eaten could only be eaten within the curtains, the chotzer of the Mishkan in Gilgal. However, v'kotchim kalim b'chol makom, v'kotchim kalim could be eaten any place, as Rashi explains, because there was no longer a machaneh. Kol Yisrael went out and camped around the Mishkan. They were spread out throughout Eretz Yisrael in order to conquer and divide Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, there is no halacha that the kochim kalim be eaten in the machane. And just as they could be makriv any place, one could build a bama any place and be makriv on it, the kochim kalim could also be eaten any place. Now the source for this heter, that once they came into Eretz Yisrael, even though they set up the Mishkan and Gilgal, that it was permitted to be makriv on bamos, is according to Rashi from a pasuk in Parshas Re'eh, which will be discussed as we go on in the Mishnah. The Rambam says that the source is within the Parsha of Shchut Echutz itself in Parshas Achrei Mois, because it says in the Parsha Asher Yishchot b'machane or Asher Yishchot mechutz l'machane, it mentions machane in the Parsha of Shchut Echutz, and from this we learn that the Parsha of Shchut Echutz is speaking about a situation when there is a machane. When they are encamped around the Mishkan, but when they entered Eretz Yisrael, there was no longer a machna. The machna was bottled. Then the part of parsha of Shchut Echutz no longer applies, and it becomes mutter to be makriv on a bama. Says the Mishnah, Bo l'shiloi nesru habamas. When they came to Shiloh, in other words, when they built the Beis Hashem in Shiloh, and it stood there for 369 years, then the bamas were once again osur. If someone, the parsha of Shchut Echutz again came into effect, and if then someone was makriv on a bama outside of the Beis Hashem in Shiloh, he would be mechuyev karas. He was mechuyev to bring any carbon and to be makrivit in the Beis Hashem in Shiloh. And the Mishnah describes this, v'loi hoyisham tikra, there was no ceiling, no built ceiling in the Beis Hashem in Shiloh. Rather, it was a house which was built from stone on the bottom, meaning the walls were made of stone, and on top were curtains. The curtains composed the ceiling, the roof of this Beis Hashem. As the Gemara says, because we see that it is referred to both as bias, as a house, and as oil, as a tent, and it was in between both. The walls were built from stone like a house, but the top was like an oil, was with curtains. It wasn't a built ceiling. The Rambam in Hilchos Beis Abchira says that the ureus, the curtains, is referring to the actual ureus of the original Mishkan from the Midbar. Those very ureus were used to serve as the ceiling, the roof of the Beis Hashem in Shiloh. So it was a combination of bias and oil, the walls were stone, and the top was ureus. Says the Mishnah, v'hi hayso menucha, and it, the Mishkan Shiloh, is what is referred to in the Pasuk as menucha. Now this is a reference to a Pasuk in Parshas Re'eh, Dvorim Yudbeis Pasuk Test, where the Torah says, ki lo basim ad ota, you have now yet not come el hamnucha v'el hanachla, to the resting place, nor to the inheritance, asher Hashem el kechonoitin loch, which Hashem is giving you. This Parsha, in Parshas Re'eh, from the Pesukim of Parshas Re'eh, is the source for many of the halachas that we are learning about in this Mishnah concerning bamos. And the parsha begins with, in Pasuk Dalet, where it says, L'sasun kein l'Hashem l'kechem, you shall not do this to Hashem to be makriv in any place. Rather, you should come to a specific place which Hashem has designated, and there you should be makriv your korbanos. And then in Pasuk Ches it says, L'sasun kechol asher anachnu oisim po hayoyim, you shall not do like that which we are doing here today, ish kol ha'yoshe be'enov, every man that which is right in his own eyes. Now this is a difficult pasuk, because if the Torah is saying that when you come into Eretz Yisrael you shall not be makriv wherever you want, rather only in the place which Hashem has chosen, then what does the pasuk mean by saying that you shouldn't do as we do here that which is right in every man's eye? Is it so that in the Midbar one was able to be makriv where anyone wanted to? It's not so. The Parsha Shchut Echutz refers to the period of the Mishkan being in the Midbar, and one had to be makriv only in the Mishkan and couldn't be makriv any place else. So what does this pasuk mean by saying that you shall not do as we are doing today, ish kol ha'yosher be'enof? So the Rashbam, al pi pshute shel mikra, and also the Ramban says something similar, explains that it means to say, as opposed to the time of the Midbar, when wherever the Mishkan was, they were able to be makriv in the Mishkan, there was no specific place where the Mishkan had to be, you shall not do that when we go into Eretz Yisrael. There, eventually Hashem will choose a place which will be designated as only in that place shall it stand, and one will be able to be makriv korbanos. However, Rashi and Chumash explains this Pasuk, Pasuk Ches and Pasuk Tes, based on the Sifrei and based on the Gemaras in our Perek. And he learns that the Pshat is this. This Pasuk Ches is referring back to that which it says earlier in the Parsha, in Yud Aleph, Pasuk Lamed Aleph, Ki atem oivrim es ha-yarden, because you are going to cross the Yarden to come into Eretz Yisrael. And now the Pasuk is saying that when you come into the Yarden, the Isra of Shchut Echutz will no longer apply. You will be able to be makriv on bamos. And the Pasuk says, however, le'sasun kochol asher anachnu oisim po hayoyim, that you will not be able to do, you won't be able to be makriv all of the karbonis which we are able to be makriv today. You won't be able to be makriv on the bamos all of the karbonis which we are able to be makriv in the Mishkan. Because in the Mishkan one can be makriv achatas and osham, and there are many karbonis which cannot be brought on bamos. Rather, what can you be makriv on a bamos? Ish kala yosher be'enof. You can only be makriv that those korbanos which are brought because a person feels that it's right in his eyes to bring those korbanos. In other words, nedarim and nedavos. Those korbanos which are brought willingly by a person, nedarim and nedavos, whether it be oilis or shlomim, that is what you can be makriv on bamis. So again, the pasuk is saying that when you will come into Eretz Yisrael and you will be permitted to build bamis, you shall not be able to be makriv. You won't be able to do everything that we're doing here, to be makriv all korbanos on bamis. However, ish kol yosher be'enav. What can you be makriv on bamis? Ish kol yosher be'enav. You can be makriv those things which are fit in your eyes, in other words, those things which you bring willingly, nedarim and Nadav. So Rashi mentioned before that this is actually the source that once they entered Eretz Yisrael that it became mutter to be makriv on bamis, and this pasuk is telling us that it's only Nadorim and Nadav that can be makriv on these private bamis. The Rambam, as we mentioned before, says in Perusha Mishnayos that the source is from that which he says in the parsha of Shkutei Chutzpah Machne, that the parsha applies only while there is a Machne. From that alone, we learn that once they come into Eretz Yisrael, it becomes Mutter. And this pasuk is telling us what is Mutter, that it's Ish Kol Yosher Be'enov, that we learn that Nedarim and Nedavos are permitted to be brought on these Bamis, Kanas, on these individual Bamis. Then it says in Pasuk Tes, because you have not come until now. This isn't referring to the Tkufa, to the period when they were in the Midbar. It means at that time, when you are permitted to be makriv on bamis, when you will have entered Eretz Yisrael, you will at that time have not yet come. You will still be engaged in conquering and dividing Eretz Yisrael, and you will have not yet come El Hamnucha, to the resting place, nor to the Nachla, to the inheritance, Asher Hashem Elokecha Noslach, which Hashem is giving you, and therefore you can still be makriv on bamis. But says the pasuk, once you come to the menucha or to the nachla, then you are to stop being makriv on bamis. Then you're not allowed to be makriv on bamis. And as the pasuk continues, then it says that when you will dwell in Eretz Yisrael, you will settle down, then there will be a place which Hashem will choose, and there you will bring all of your korbanos. So says the Mishnah that which it says in the pasuk kilei basim ad ato el hamnucha, you have not yet come to the resting place, that's a reference to Shiloh. And the pasuk is saying here that although when you enter Eretz Yisrael and the Mishkan is in Gilgal, you will be allowed to be makriv on bonus. And the pasuk told us that you're allowed to be makriv in Dorim and Adavis, that's because at that time you have not yet come el hamnucha, Shiloh was not yet built, but when Shiloh will be built, then the Isser of Bamas will once again come into effect, once again the parsha of Shkutei Chutz will apply, and any korbanos that you have, you will have to bring to the menucha. And the pasuk says, El ha-menucha v'el ha-nachala, and as we will learn in the Mishnah, menucha is referring to Shiloh, and nachala is referring to Yerushalayim. That means that the pasuk is saying that at that period when you first come into Eretz Yisrael, during this first 14 years, you can be makriv on bamis because at that time you will not yet have come to the menucha of Shiloh, nor to the nachla of Yerushalayim. So in this we learn that in the period that there will be Mishkan Shiloh, and once the Beis HaMikdash is built in Yerushalayim, then it is forbidden to be makriv on bamis. The Torah divides it into two. It says, El Hamnucha V'El Hanachla. The pasuk doesn't merely say, you have not yet come El Hamnucha, and from the time that you come to the Mnucha of Shiloh, you can no longer be Makriv on Bamis. That is because in between the period of Shiloh and Yerushalayim, it is once again permitted to be Makriv on Bamis. This is to give a heter between the period of Mnucha of Shiloh and the period of Nachla of Yerushalayim. Because it doesn't just say that you have not yet come to the Mnucha, and from that time, it is also to be Makriv on Bamis. Rather, it says, you have not yet come to the Mnucha. That's one period, and you have not yet come to the Nachla, which is a second period. But in between those two periods, it is permitted to be Makriv and Bamis, as we will learn in our Mishnah. So this is the source. Basically, these two psukim are the source for the halachas of Bamis, for these different time periods concerning Bamis that we're learning about in our Mishnah, and we will see in Mitzvah Hashem more of this later on in the parak. Now says the Mishnah concerning the Mishkan Shiloh, Kotchi Kadoshim Necholin Lifnim and Akloim, that Kotchi Kadoshim could be eaten within the curtains which surrounded the Beis Hashem in Shiloh. Again, similarly to the halakha that we find in the Mishkan, the Kotchi Kadoshim were eaten in the Chotzer of the Oil Moed. Here too they were eaten in the courtyard of the Mishkan Shiloh. The Kotchim Kalim Umaytasheni Bechol Haroya. Here there was a halakha concerning Mishkan Shiloh that the Kotchim Kalim and Maaser Sheni, the halacha of Maaser Sheni is also that it is eaten in the times of the Beis HaMikdash throughout Yerushalayim, And here it is eaten b'chol haroya, in any place from which one could see the Mishkan Shiloh. If one could see Mishkan Shiloh from a certain point, there it was permitted to eat kochim kalim and maitasheni. The Gemara will learn this from a pasuk. The reason why here the Mishnah mentions maitasheni, and before when it was talking about the Mishkan in Gilgal it doesn't mention maitasheni, is because, says Rashi, in the 14 years that the Mishkan was in Gilgal, the 14 years of kibush v'chiluk, when they were involved in conquering and dividing Eretz Yisrael, maitasheni was not noyeg. The mitzvah of maitasheni did not apply, and therefore it doesn't mention before maitasheni. But here it tells us, Allah of Maizasheni, that it could be eaten b'chol haraya, in any place from which one could see Mishkan Shiloh. Says the Mishnah, bo l'noiv v'givin, that once Mishkan Shiloh was destroyed in the times of Eli, and the Aron Hashem was captured, and they came first to Noiv and then to Givin, they set up the Beis Hashem in Noiv, as we learn in the Parsha concerning, it tells us when David HaMelech was running away from Shaul, it says that he came to Noiv Ir HaKoyanim, and there was the Shulchan and the Mizbeach. So we see that the Beis Hashem was in Noiv, and after Noiv Ir HaKoyanim was destroyed, in the days of Shaul, we find that the Beis Hashem was in Givin. It says concerning Shlomo HaMelech, before he built the Beis HaMikdash, that he came to Givin to be Makriv, the Korbanos, Kisham HaBoma HaGdolah, because there was the central Boma for Klal Yisrael, and he came there to be Makriv. Korbanos Hashem appeared to him there, so we find that the Beis Hashem was in Givin. So this was a period, a total of 57 years, when the Beis Hashem was first in Noiv and then in Givin. Says the mission that both the Noiv Givin, when they came to Noiv Givin and they set up the Beis Hashem there, Hutru HaBomis, that Bomis became Mutter once more. The Yisra Shkutichut did not apply, and besides this Boma Gdoila, this great central Boma that there was in first in Noiv and then in Givin, any individual could also build a Boma and be Makriv on that Boma. The Rambam Mefir Shemeshnaya says that in Noiv Givin they actually put up once more the original Mishkan, which was in the Midbar. That's what Rambam says in Pirush Mishnayos. However, the Rambam Hilchos Pesach Chira says Shabanu Sham Mikdash, that they built a Mikdash in Noiv V'Givin. The Sfasemis points out this apparent contradiction. Al Koponim, the Mishnah tells us that during the period when the Mishkan was in Noiv V'Givin, that it was permitted, the Parsha Shchut Chutz did not apply, and it was permitted for each individual to be Makriv on a Boma. Now this, as we mentioned before, is learned from that Pasuk, where it says, Ki Levosem Ad Ota El Hamnucho V'El Hanachla, you have not yet come to the Menucha nor to the Nachla. Menucha is Shiloh and Nachla is Yerushalayim. And the Pasuk doesn't say that from the time you come to the Menucha that it will be forbidden to be Makriv on Bomis. It says that from the time you come to the Menucha and then again from the time you come to Yerushalayim it will be forbidden. We see from the Pasuk that it divides the two periods into two. This is to give a heter in between those two periods. That when after the Menucha of Shiloh is destroyed, before they come to the Nachla of Yerushalayim and build the Beis HaMikdash, there is a period when the Bomis are permitted. And that's the period of Noiv V'Givin. Says the Mishnah, Kochi Kadoshim Nechav L'Nifnim Nakloyim. Here too, just as we learned before concerning the period when the Mishkan was in Gilgal, we learned that Kochi Kadoshim are eaten within the curtains that surrounded the Beis Hashem in Noiv V'Givin, because the Kochi Kadoshim which were eaten could only be brought on the Boma HaGdoila, Kochim Kalim. And as it says on the side, Umay Sasheni, Bechol Ari Yisrael. Kochim Kalim and Umay Sasheni could be eaten in all the cities of Yisrael throughout Eretz Yisrael. There was no particular machane for eating kochim kalim, just as one could be makriv, build a boma, and be makriv any place, one could eat the kochim any place. And since there is no halacha to eat the kochim kalim in a particular place, then there's no halacha to bring the maizah sheni to any particular place, and it too can be eaten throughout Kol or Yisrael. But Rambam Perashat Mishnayos says that the reason why the Mishnah here refers to the heter to eat kochim kalim throughout Eretz Yisrael as b'chol or Yisrael, throughout the cities of Yisrael, and before in the period of Gilgal, it just said b'chol mokum, any place, is because there the Mishnah couldn't have used the expression b'chol or Yisrael, because we're talking about the period when they were first conquering Eretz Yisrael, and there were not yet cities in which Klal Yisrael dwelt. They had not yet inhabited the cities. But here it refers to the entire Eretz Yisrael as b'chol or Yisrael. Says the Mishnah, Bo Yerushalayim, when they came to Yerushalayim, when the Beis HaMikdash was finally built in Yerushalayim by Shlomo HaMelech, Nesru HaBomais, V'loyhoyo Lehen Oid Heter. From that period on, the Bomas became Osir, the Isra of Shchut Echutz took effect, and there was no longer a Heter to Bomas even after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So from the time that the Beis HaMikdash was built in Yerushalayim, it was and is forbidden to be Makriv any place else. Vehi hoisa nachlo, and that is what is referred to in that pasuk as nachlo. When the pasuk says ki levosem ad ota el hamnucho ve'el hanachlo, that you are allowed to be makriv am bomas when you enter Eretz Yisrael because you have not yet come to the menucha of Shiloh nor to the nachlo. Nachlo, the inheritance, is referring to Yerushalayim. And again, the Torah divided it into two, because after Shiloh there is a heter, but ve'el hanachlo, once you come to Yerushalayim, there is no longer a heter to be makriv am bomas. So in conclusion, once again, then we've learned in our Mishnah that before the Mishkan was built, it was permitted to be Makriv on Bomis. We find that the Ovis HaKadosh were Makriv on Bomis. And once the Mishkan was built, then the Torah was Mechadish, the Parsha of Shkutei Chutz. and it was forbidden to be makir korban any place else. Once they entered into Eretz Yisrael, they were no longer encamped around the Mishkan for the 14-year period of kibush v'chiluk, of conquering and dividing. Even though the Mishkan was in Gilgal, one was allowed to build a bomb someplace else and to be makir v'panit. There's a heter for bomb in that time. Once Mishkan Shiloh was built, for that period of 369 years, any korbanos had to be brought in Shiloh, and there was an Isra of Shchut Yichutz, one could not make a Bama. When Shiloh was destroyed, and the Mikdash was in Noiv V'Givayin, that 57-year period, it was permitted to be Makriv on Bamas. One did not have to bring a korban to the Bama Hagdoyla, the great Bama in Noiv or Givayin. There was a Heter of Bamas. And then, once the Beis HaMikdash was built, Rosh Shlomo HaMelech in Yerushalayim, that is the Mokom HaShabokh HaShem, that's the place which Hashem has chosen forever, and from that point on, it is forbidden to be Makriv any place else. Now the Mishnah goes on to describe different levels of Isser, of Shchutei Chutz, which are result from these different periods. Says the Mishnah, Kol HaKodshim Shehikdishon B'Shas Isser HaBomais, V'Hikrivon B'Shas Isser HaBomais B'Chutz, any kochim which he was makdish at the time when the Isser of Bamas is in effect, the period of either the Mishkan or of Shiloh or of the Beis HaMikdash, or from the time that the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim was built, and the Hakrava was also done at a time when Bamas are Osir and he was makriv on Bamas outside of the place where he is supposed to be makriv, Hare Elu Be'aseh V'loyisaseh V'chayovan Olav Koris. If someone does this, he is transgressing both a mitzvah saseh, as it says in the parasha of Shchutei Chutz, Ve'hevi'um LaHashem, they shall bring him to Hashem, they have to bring him to the place of Hashem, that's a mitzvah saseh. He's transgressing a lo saseh, as it says in parasha Re'eh, Hishom alechot entala elasecho b'chomokom asher tira, that one is not allowed to be makriv b'chutz. The Gemara in the beginning of the previous parak deals with where we learn a mitzvah lo saseh concerning Shchutei Chutz, shechting outside, but al kaponu, there is a lo saseh, and there is a chiyuv, of course, as it says in the parasha of Shchutei Chutz and Achrei Mois, that someone who is makriv, either shechs or is a makter outside, is mechuyev koris. So this is the full iser of Shchutei Chutz, where the transgression both of an aseh, lo saseh, and he is chayev koris. It's both the hektish and the hakrava, which was done b'chutz, were at the time of the iser habamis. Hikdishon b'shas heter abomis, v'hikriven b'shas iser abomis b'chutz. If when he was makdish it was a time when bamas were permitted. He was makdish it, for example, during the period when the Mishkan was in Gilgal, and it was permitted at the time to be makriv on a bama. And he was makdish a korban, but in the meantime, the Mishkan Shiloh was set up, and it became also to be makriv on a bama. And nonetheless, he was makriv it outside. He wasn't makriv it in Shiloh, he was makriv it someplace else. Harei elu ba'aseh v'loisaseh v'ein chayov an olei ankorot. In such a situation where the hektish was done at a time when bamas were mutter, even though the Hakrova was done at a time when bamas were also, and he was makrivit b'chutz, he transgresses an aseh and aloisaseh, but he is not chayov korot. This we learn in the beginning of the previous parak. The Gemara darshans the parsha of Shchutei Chutz and parsha Achrei Mois, that the beginning of the parsha which talks about the chorus is dealing with hektish, which a person was makdish at the time of Isra Bamas and who was makriv at that time, but korbanos which he was makdish at the time of Heter Bamas, we are marbe from that which it says in the pasuk Lamana Sheyaviu Bnei Yisrael Lizivchem Asher Haim Zoivchem, and there were marbe an asay and a lav from the words from Velo Yizbuchu Oy, that they shall no longer be zayvech, they shall shech their korbanos, meaning korbanos which they were able to do before. However, we excluded from Koris from the word Zeis. It says Chukas Olim Tia Zeis Lehem L'Doyreisem at the end of the parsha Zeis, that there's only Koris in a specific situation. That's in the situation where the Hekdash was also done at a time of the Isra of Bamas, but if when he was Makdashit, it was permitted to be Makriv on Bamas, and only later it became Osir, and then he transgressed the Isra and was Makriv B'chutz, we say that he is transgressing and Aseh and Elois Aseh, but he is not Mechuyev Koris. I am shown in the first Sugya of the previous parak where the Gemara darshans the parsha, and we learn these halachas. Says the Mishnah, Hikdishon b'shas iser habomis, v'hikrivon b'shas heter habomis. If he did the opposite, he was makdish a korban at the time when bamas were osir. For example, he was makdish a korban at the time when Mishkan Shiloh was still standing and it was forbidden to be makriv on a bama. However, in the meantime, Shiloh was destroyed and he was then makriv the korban at the time when it is permitted to be makriv on bamas. Hare elu ba'aseh, he is transgressing nonetheless, he has transgressed the mitzvah saseh, as Rashi explains, because from the time that he was makdish the korban, it was chal on him the mitzvah saseh of Hevim Lashem to bring it to the base Hashem and to be makriv it. And since he waited and he didn't do this, and now the Beis Hashem was destroyed, he has transgressed the mitzvahs aseh, ve'em be'en lois aseh. But there is no lois aseh, and all the more so, of course, there is no koris, because when he was makrivit, he wasn't transgressing the Yisra of Shchutei Chutz, since at that time, there was a heter on bamas. Nonetheless, he transgresses an aseh, because at the time of the heter, he was supposed to bring it and be makrivit, be'ves Hashem. Now the Mishnah goes on to tell us that even at the period when bomas were mutter, when there was a boma gdoila, a central boma, in the situation of Gilgal or in the situation of Noi Vigivin, there was a central boma, a boma tzibor. However, it was a period when bomas were mutter, where every individual could also make a boma and be makiv upon it, that there were certain karbonas that the person had to bring to the boma gdoila. Says the Mishnah, Ve'elu kochim kraven v'mishkan. These are the kochim which one had to be makriv, which had to be brought to the Mishkan. That even in a period when the bomas were mutter, there were kochim which had to be brought to the central boma. Kochim shehuk deshu l'mishkan. That is, kochim which became hektish for the Mishkan. And the Mishnah will explain what this is. Korbanos tzibur kraven b'mishkan. Korbanos of the tzibur were only brought in the Mishkan, in the central boma, the boma hagdol, which is referred to as the boma tzibur. V'korbanos hayochid b'boma. However, individual korbanos, if he didn't say anything about bringing it to the Mishkan, they could be brought on a private boma. However, korbanos hayochid shehuk deshula mishkan, but private korbanos, which at the time of the hektish he said that he's going to bring them to the Mishkan, yakrivu b'mishkan. He has to be makriv them in the Mishkan, in the central boma, because it says in the Torah, kasher nadar. That you have to keep that nether which you made, since he said at the time when he was makdish the korban that he's going to bring to the Mishkan, he has to fulfill his nether. However, if he was makriv them in a boma, he didn't bring it to the Mishkan, he's potter. He hasn't transgressed any of the isurim of shchutei chutz, because there is no isur of shchutei chutz at that time. Bomas are mutter. He's only transgressed his chiyuv because of his nether to bring it to the main Mishkan. The Rishash adds that it's mistaber to say that if he had a nether upon himself that he will bring a korban to the Mishkan, and he didn't do so, he was makriv with b'chutz. Again, he didn't transgress any yisra of shchutei chutz, but he did not fulfill his nether. And if it was a nether of harei alai, where the responsibility is upon him to fulfill the nether, he would have to go ahead and bring a different korban to the Mishkan. But Rakhapana, the Mishnah is saying that he's mechuya to bring it to the Mishkan because of his nether, but if he didn't do so, he didn't transgress any of the yisurim of shchutei chutz. So these are the korbanos which have to be brought to the Mishkan, korbanos tzibur, and korbanos which a person himself obligated himself to bring to the Mishkan. And the Gemara will deal at length with exactly which korbanos can be brought on a boma. Now the Mishnah goes on to tell us that there are many halachas of avoida that do not apply to a korban which is brought on a boma ketana, on a private boma. Says the Mishnah, Uma bin bomas yochid lebomas tzibur. What is the difference in halacha between a bomas yochid, an individual boma which is built, to a bomas tzibur, to the main boma? In other words, even in the time when bomas were mutter, in the time of Gilgal or Noiv v'givay, there was still the central boma, the bomas tzibur, that is called the boma agdoila. And the Mishnah is asking, what is the difference in halacha between the private boma that a person sets up and the bomas tzibur, which was either in Gilgal or in Noiv v'givay? Says the Mishnah, smicha, that the one of the differences is smicha, that the halacha of smicha, of leaning on the korban, applies only in the bomas tzibur, but not to a bomas yochid. And all of these halachas will be learned from psukim, darshan from psukim in the Gemara. Ushchitas tzofen, and the halacha to shecht in tzofen, in the north side of the courtyard, applies only in the bomas tzibur, but not to a bomas yochid, of kufyud gimel. Umatan soviv, and placing the dam around the walls of the mizbeach. In other words, even where though there is a halacha of shtayim shehin arba, that is referred to as soviv, as putting the dam on the two opposite corners of the mizbeach, so that it is around, that it touches all four walls of the mizbeach. That's halacha only in the actual mizbeach in the bomas tzibur, but not in a bomas yochid, although there is zrika in a bomas yochid, but one does not need shtayim shehin arba. Utsnufa, and waving. There are certain kachim where there is a halacha to wave them up and down and to and fro. This, the pshuta, could be applied to the emurim of ashlamim, where there is a din of tznufa. The Gemara mentions later on that because there is no halacha of tznufa, there is no din of chazav shayk on a bama ketana. The Hagosha. And Hagosha, this is the din of bringing a mincha, touching it to the corner of the Mizbeach, to the southwestern corner of the Mizbeach before the Kmitza. This does not apply in a Bama. The Pshuta from Rashi, the way we have our Rashi, it says, Tznufa v'Hagosha de Menachas. It would seem that the word Tznufa is also referring to Menachas, because there is a halacha of Tznufa in certain Menachas, but this is somewhat difficult, because the halacha of Tznufa, of waving, only applies to two Menachas. That is the Minchas HaOmer and the Minchas Soita. And it would appear that in any case, the Minchas HaOmer, which is a korban tzibur, wouldn't be brought on a bomas yochid. This is somewhat difficult because the halacha of tnufa only applies to two menachas, that is the minchas ha'omer and the minchas saita. The minchas ha'omer is a mincha which is brought by the tzibur, and it's certainly only brought on the bamas tzibur, and it would appear, b'pshutei, that the minchas saita, which involves the mishkan and the kohenim, certainly also would not be able to be brought on a bamas yochid. So why would the Mishnah have to tell us that tnufa does not apply if those two menachas, where there is tnufa in any case, would not be brought on a bamas yochid, on a private bama? B'pshutei, we could learn that the tnufa is referring to wherever there is a halacha of tnufa. Continues the Mishnah, Kopanim, there's a mention here of Hagosha, which is one of the halachas of Mincha, of touching it to the corner of the Mizbeach before the Kmitza. And the Mishnah interjects now with a different opinion, Rabbi Yehuda. I mean, Rabbi Yehuda says that Ein Mincha B'Bama, that there is no Mincha on a Bama at all. Now, Tosis on the Mishnah, it's to be found in the Kuf Yotes Omid Beis, Tosis says on this part of the Mishnah that this is not like the rest of the list of the Mishnah. What Rabbi Yehuda is saying is that there's no Mincha on a Bama at all, means not even on the Bama Gedoyla. He says there was no bringing of a Mincha, not only on a Bama Ketana, but when there was a heter of bamas, even though there was a bamas gedola in Gilgal or in Noiv Gidon, altogether menachas are not brought. So he's arguing that there were no korbanos mincha which were brought at all. Now the Mishnah continues with the list. It's no longer the words of Rabbi Yehuda. This is Likuli Alma, and continues with the list of halachas which apply specifically the differences between the bamas ketana and the bamas gedola. Continues the Mishnah of the Kihun. There's no din of a kohen for a bamas ketana. The avoda can be done not only by a kohen. Ubig de Sharet and Big de Kahuna. Big de Kahuna will apply when there is a din of Kahuna. So in the Bama Gedolah, it has to be done by a Kohen in Big de Kahuna, but a Bama Ketana can be done by a non Kohen, and no Big de Kahuna are necessary. Klisharet are not necessary in a Bama Ketana, but Reach Nichoyach, and there's no din of Reach. The Rashi says this is referring to the Halacha. We learned that Lashem Shishadvar Mazevach Nizbach, that the Zevach has to be done with the intention of six things. One of them is Reach, and this means that it has to be done that the Haktorah is placed on the Mizbeach raw. The Amorim placed on the Mizbeach raw and not roasted first and then placed on the Mizbeach. Because if they're roasted first and then placed on the Mizbeach, there is no Reach. You don't give off a fragrance. And the Torah says Reach Nichoyach, that there is to be a fragrance. So that to be put raw on the Mizbeach. This is a halacha by the Bamas Tzibur, but not by the Bamas Yochid. Umechitza ledomim, and the division for different kinds of dam on the mizbeach, on the main mizbeach, there's a halacha of the chuta sikr, which divides the domim halyoinim, the domim tachtonim. Certain karbonas, the chatzis has to be above the chuta sikr, the other karbonas are below the chuta sikr. In the bama ketana, this does not apply, it doesn't make any difference. Ulerichut yadayim v'raglayim, and also for the halacha of washing of the hands and feet. There's no halacha of richut yadayim v'raglayim bekiyar for a bama ketana. Aval, however, says the Mishnah, hazman, that a korban becomes possible if one does it with a machshava of chutz lizman, the halach of pigel, hanoiser, or if someone doesn't do it with a machshava to leave something over, to do something after the time, but he actually left over something after the time, the hatomei, and the halacha that a tomei is not allowed to do the avoida or to eat kochim, shavin b'zeh b'zeh, that is the same both for the bama gdoyla and for the bama ketana. As we mentioned before, the Gemara will bring drashas for these halachas. Now the Gemara goes back to the beginning of the Mishnah. In the Mishnah, we learned that the Mishnah tells us a din that if someone shechted the pora aduma, there's one gear that burns the pora aduma, or shechted the pora aduma outside of its place, that he is not transgressing the Isra of Shchut Echutz, because the Isra of Shchut Echutz applies only to something which is to be brought to the Beis HaMikdash, or Pesach HaOmoed Lo Yehevioi. But the Parah Duma is meant to be shechted on Har HaZesim, facing the Beis HaMikdash. It's not meant to be shechted in the Azor at all. And therefore, the Isra of Shchut Echutz does not apply. Says the Gemara, my chutz migita. What is the Mishnah referring to when it says that it was burnt or shechted outside of its place? It's true that Rashi and Tosfos explained what the word gita means, that it means a deep place where it was shechted and burnt, but that isn't where it has to be done. It doesn't have to be done on that specific point. So what is the Mishnah telling us? That if it's done outside of its place, that one doesn't transgress the Isra of Shchut Echutz. What is considered to be its place that the Mishnah is telling us that outside of that place where it's possible, nonetheless he's not transgressing the Isra of Shchut Echutz? Omer Shlokesh Shlokesh says, chutz mimakom habaduklo. This means that he shechted it outside of a place which was checked for it, which was checked from tumah. And Rashi explains this means from kever hatahoim, that he holds that we have to be choishesh, we have to worry about that perhaps there is a kever deep down in the ground, and therefore the place where it is to be done has to be tahar, and therefore they had to check and make sure that it goes all the way down to virgin ground, and that there is no kever hatahoim over there where the Pora Aduma is shechted and burnt. And if it's done outside of that place, that's considered to be not in the place where it can be done. That's outside of its place. And the Mishnah is telling us that although it's possible over there, but there is no transgression of the Surah Meshchut Echut. Omele Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan told him, V'halekol Eretz Yisrael Badukihi, that all of Eretz Yisrael is considered to be automatically checked. It doesn't require checking at all for Kever HaTohoim, because we assume that there is no Kever HaTohoim any place in Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara will explain why this is so. Elo, Om Rabbi Yochanan, rather, Rabbi Yochanan said, K'gon sheshochtu lefnim in chaymet Yerushalayim, that he shechted it inside the wall of Yerushalayim, because that certainly is not in its proper place, because as Rashi brings it, says in the Pasuk, V'hoytzi oisa, that you have to take it out of the machaneh. If he did it within the chaymet Yerushalayim, he didn't do it in its right place. The Mishnah is telling us that that's possible, but there's no transgression of the Yisra of Shchute Chutz. The Gemara asks, if Rabbi Yochanan doesn't want to say that outside of the Mokom, which has been checked to be Tor, is considered Chutz L'Mkoyma, why does he have to say that he did it within the walls of Yerushalayim? V'luk b'kegoyin sheshokta Chutz L'Choyma, let him set it up, that he actually shechted it outside of the Choyma of Yerushalayim, however, Shaloi Kenegra Pesach, but he did it not opposite the entrance to the Beis HaMikdash. We know that it had to be done on Har HaZeisim, but it had to be opposite the entrance to the Beis HaMikdash. Actually, when he did the Hazoyas, it says in the Pasuk, that he should sprinkle it towards the entrance of Oyel Moed from its Tam 7 times. And as Rashi explains, around Chumash, this means that he actually looks through all the entrances until the Heichol at the time of the Hazor Sadat. So that's where it has to be done. Dom Ravada Barahava, as Ravada Barahava said, Shokta Shaloi Kenegra Pesach Psula, that even if he just shechted it Shaloi Kenegra Pesach, that's also possible. Shemer, as it says in the Pasuk, V'shochat, V'hizah. First it says V'shochat is to be shechted, and then it says that he's to be Mazah El Noichach Pnei Oyel Moed, Mazah Ozo Kenegra Pesach, just as the Hazor has to be corresponding opposite the entrance to the Beis HaMikdash, the Shechita also has to be there. And if the Shechita is not done there, then it is possible. So the Mishnah, according to this Girsa, again, Tosfos here mentions that there's 2 Girsas. If we're speaking about Shechita, this corresponds to the Girsa in our Mishnah of Shechita. Rabbi Yochanan should have said that it's speaking about a case where the Shechita was on Shaloi Kenegra Pesach. If you'll say that Rabbi Yochanan doesn't agree with this Halacha or Vada Barahavi, he doesn't make this Hekesh between the Shechita and the Hazor. Although the Hazor has to be opposite the entrance to the Beis HaMikdash, perhaps the Shechita doesn't have to be there, and that's what Rabbi Yochanan had to say, that speaking about a case where he shechted it inside Yerushalayim, so ho'itmar, behold, we have learned, Sorfa Shaloi Kenegra Pesach, that if he burnt it, not opposite the Pesach, not opposite the entrance to the Beis HaMikdash, Rabbi Yochanan Omar Psula, Rabbi Yochanan says that it's possible. If he didn't shecht it opposite the entrance to the Har HaBayis and into the Azorah, into the Beis HaMikdash, that it is possible. Rabbi Yoshi Omar Ksher, Rabbi Yoshi says that it's kosher. Rabbi Yochanan Omar Psula, Vesora Vihiza. Rabbi Yochanan says it's possible because it says Vesora and it says Vihiza, just as the Hazor has to be El Noichach Pnei or El Moed. Also, the Sreifa has to be El Noichach Pnei Omed. It also has to be opposite the entrance, which lead into the Heichel. Rabbi Yishia Omar Ksheira. Rabbi Yishia says that this is kosher. Al Pirsha Yisrait. He shall burn it with his perish, which with the food, the digested food, which is inside the animal. But he darshes this word Al Pirsha in a different way. Mokum Sheperesheth Lemisa Shom Tehei Sreifasa. That the place where it is perish, where it separates to death, where it dies completely, that's where its Sreifa should be. And separates to death, Rashi learns, means when it is completely stops moving after the Shechita. Certainly that has no specific place. Even if we say the Shechita has to be done in a certain place, but then it perhaps moves around and it can completely stop moving someplace else. So he darshans Al Pirsho, that the place where it actually completely dies, there it shall be burnt. So it doesn't have to be necessarily on Noichach Pnei or on Moed. Rakhul Ponam B'yoysen learns that it does have to be. And so it says, even if we're going with the previous Gemara Shocht and we're dealing with Shechita, the Gemara brings a right from Sreifa because it has the same halacha. If the Sreifa has to be on Noichach Pnei or on Moed, then the Shechita also has to be El Pnei or on Moed. Says the Gemara Amri, they said that the Loimi Boya Ka'omer, that the reason why Rabbi Yochanan said that we're speaking about a case where it was shechted inside the walls of Yerushalayim, he's saying it as a Loimi Boy, because he wants to tell us a Chiddush. Loimi Boy Chutz L'Choy Medaruchu Kerochaka, I don't require to tell this din, that if it's shechted outside of the Choymer, that it's possible, because there he's brought it further away. He's brought it away from the place where it's meant to be shechted. It's meant to be shechted El Noichach Pnei Oyel Moed, as Rabbi Yochanan holds, and he actually brought it further away from the Beis HaMikdash, further away from the Azara. So there, of course, it's possible. Elafilu l'fnim min ha-chayma dekruvei karva. Even if he shechts it within the chayma, then he's actually brought it closer. There's a halacha to shecht it where it is opposite, where it's facing, opposite the Beis HaMikdash. So I would think that if he brings it l'fnim min ha-chayma, he's actually brought it closer to the place where he is supposed to face. Ve'emet his kasha, I would say that that's kasha k'mashmalan. That's where Rabbi Yochanan, by telling us this case, wanted to tell us a chiddush that is completely possible if it shechted inside Yerushalayim. That's why he learned that pshat of the Mishnah, because he wanted to tell us a chiddush that if it shechted within the walls of Yerushalayim, that it is completely possible. Nonetheless, the Mishnah is telling us that would apply both to this case and to a case where he shechted it any place other than the place where it's meant to be shechted. If he shechted it too far away, where it's not opposite the entrance to the Beis HaMikdash, that the halacha is that he's not chayav for shechut echutz, because it's not something which is to be brought to the Azara for avodah. Says the Gemara, Omar Mar, we learned before, Omar le Rabbi Yochanan v'alekol Eretz Yisrael b'dukihi, that Rabbi Yochanan said to Reish Lakish, Reish Lakish wanted to say that if it's shechted outside of a place which is checked from a kever hatayim, from a kever, from a grave that might be deep down in the ground, and we don't see that if he shechted in a place which isn't checked for that, that it is possible. And Rabbi Yochanan said that Eretz Yisrael in any case is checked, it doesn't need to be checked. But my commissary, what is the machloikis? Mar sover yorad mabul Eretz Yisrael. Reish Lakish holds that the Mabul came in Eretz Yisrael as well. And therefore, when the Dor HaMabul, the people of the Dor HaMabul were killed, their bones were embedded deep into the earth. And therefore, every area has to be checked that there are no bones deep down in the earth. Umar Sover Loyar, and Rabbi Yochanan holds that the Mabul did not come down in Eretz Yisrael. And although, as we'll see in Omid Beis, even the people in Eretz Yisrael died, but Rashi explains over there that their bones were not embedded deep into the earth, and therefore anyone that was dead was later buried in a Beis HaKfaris, in a place of Kfarim where there are known graves. But there were bones which were embedded deep into the earth, and therefore there is no Kshash of Kever HaTohim, and all Eretz Yisrael is considered to be Beduk. It's automatically checked from Kever HaTohim, and there's no need to check it. Om Rav Nachman by Yitzchak Ushnei Mirka Echad Darshu. Nachman by Yitzchak said that both Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan darshan the same pasuk. Reish Lakish darshan the pasuk to tell us that there was a mabul in Eretz Yisrael, and Rabbi Yochanan darshan to tell us that there was no mabul in Eretz Yisrael. It says in the pasuk of Yichin Yechezkel, Ben Adam Emorla, Ben Adam, that's Yechezkel, say to Eretz Yisrael, At Eretz Loi Mitoihara Hi Loi Gushma B'Yom Zam, that you are a land which is not purified, not tahira. It wasn't rained on in the day of anger. Now, there's two ways of learning this pasuk. Rabbi Yochanan sofer atmoi mitamikor. Rabbi Yochanan learned that the first part of the pasuk, that's how Rashi explains the Gemara, that the first part of the pasuk is read as a question, as a bitmiyah. Eretz Yisrael, mi loy mitahira at. Eretz Yisrael, aren't you tahira? Klum yordu alecha kshomim b'yom zam. Did then the rain come down on you in the day of anger at the Mabul? So we learn the first part of the pasuk, bitmiya. At eretz loy metuhara, are you then not a land which is tohar? Loygushma b'yom zam. The rain didn't come down on you in the day of anger during the Mabul. So you therefore are an eretz metuhara. You're an eretz which is pure, because you don't have any kivrei tohim. Reish Lakish sover kipashtei, and Reish Lakish reads the pasuk, the first part of the pasuk, kipashtei as it is read bipshutei, and not as a question. Eretz loy mitaharat, you are a land which is not tor. Mi lo yordo lech kshomi b'yom zam, didn't rain come on you as well during the day of anger, during the Mabul? So at eretz loy mitahar, you're a land which is not pure. Loy gushma b'yom zam, because didn't the rain come down on you also during the Mabul? So therefore he darshans that to the contrary, that the Mabul was in Eretz Yisrael, and that it too is not b'chezkas boduk. Eisei Reish Lakish for Rabbi Yochanan. Reish Lakish asked Rabbi Yochanan and Akasha to prove to him that Eretz Yisrael is not b'chezkas boduk. Chatzeiros hoyu b'Yerushalayim. This is halacha concerning para. There were many chumras that they did concerning the burning of the para adum and preparing the mei chatzis. And it says that there were chatzeiros in Yerushalayim, there were courtyards in Yerushalayim, benuyas al hasela, which were built on stone, b'tachtein cholum et nekever hatohim. And underneath those stones, there was a space because of kever hatohim, that in case there's a kever hatohim underneath, that there is a space in between, and therefore this kever hatohim would not be metame above the sela, above this stone. Umevi and noshim u'baris, they would bring pregnant women to those courtyards. The yoldas, they would give birth in those courtyards. Umigadli shom b'neim lepara, and they would raise their children in those courtyards. The children would never leave those courtyards for the para, to do the avodas of the para. So these children were children who couldn't have possibly come into contact with any tumah. When they were somewhat grown, and they would go to bring the water for the para, mevi'in shvarim, they would bring oxen, v'al gabei and dalsois, and on the backs of the oxen were doors, Tinokas Yeshvin Aleihem, and the children would sit on these doors, so that even if they passed over someplace where there was a kever, that this would be choytis, this would separate from the tumah, and they wouldn't become tumah. The koyseh shel evin biyodin, in their hands there were cups of evin. Evin is not makabel tumah. Umalu, they would go down briefly to fill up the water in these koyseh, in these cups. Vyoshvud mikayim, and once again sit on their place on these doors on the backs of the oxen, so that they would be completely protected from tumah. So says Rish Lakish, you see that we do worry about Kever HaTohim, even though we know that this is a special Chumrah, but Rish Lakish learns that that's only because there is a possibility of Kever HaTohim, and this is, of course, in Eretz Yisra. Rav Huna Brei de Rav Yeshua said, to answer on behalf of Rabbi Yochanan, Maila also before, that when it comes to Paraduma, they made a special Maila, a special Chumrah, even though really there is no Chash at all of Kever HaTohim. As Rashi learns, that the reason why they made the special Chumrah is because the Kohen who would burn the Paraduma, they would make him Tomei and go to the Mikveh, and he was a Tful Yoyim at the time that he burnt the Paraduma, because the Paraduma can be done by a Tful Yoyim. The Tzidukim said that it cannot. So they would purposely make him into a Tful Yoyim. So since they did this, so to speak, zilzal, they treated it lightly to be metame the koyan who was going to do that which had to be done to the para aduma. So they made many chumras so that people shouldn't treat the entire halacha lightly, because it can't be done by tmeim. It can only be done by this tful yoyim. So they were metame, and he was a tful yoyim. But in other ways, they were very machmer. So they were machmer to the extent that even though there's really no chash of kever hatoyim at all in Eretz Yisrael, nonetheless, they did these special precautions. Rabbi Yochanan asked the Kasha to Reish Lakish to prove to the contrary that there is no, that Eretz Yisrael is Beduka, and that there is no Kever HaTohim in Eretz Yisrael. We learned it a Braisa. Pam Echod Motsu Atzomais Belishkas Dir HaEitzim. At one time they found bones in the compartment where the wood was kept for the Beis HaMikdash. Ubikshu Ligzor Tuma Al Yerushalayim. They wanted to make a Gzeira of Tuma Al Yerushalayim, that in Yerushalayim we have to be Choshesh for Tuma, and to make sure, before we consider something to be Torah, to check it out, to make sure that it is Torah. Omad Rabbi Yeshua al Raglav, Rabbi Yeshua got up on his feet, va'omer, and he said, Voy busha uchlima hilonu, shenigzor tuma al ir aviseinu. Wouldn't this be an embarrassment and a disgrace for us to be geyser tuma on the city of our forefathers, on Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh? Where are the dead of the Mabel? They're not here. Where are the dead that were killed by Nebuchadnezzar? They're also not here. Says the Gemara, Midiko Omar Hochi, from the fact that he made such a statement that the Meisei Mabel are not here, Lav Lameimra Deloy Havu. Doesn't this mean to say that there weren't Meisei Mabel here in Eretz Yisrael? That there weren't any Meisim which were embedded deep into the earth in Eretz Yisrael? There's no Chash of Tumah because of the Meisei Mabel. So the Gemara says, V'litameich, and according to the way you understand it, that's what he meant to say about the Meisei Mabel. Harugin Mechanetzar Hochi Nami Deloy Havu. Those that were killed by Nebuchadnezzar, were they also not here in Eretz Yisrael? That's where they were killed. They were killed here in Eretz Yisrael, in Yerushalayim. Elahavu Upaninhu. He means to say, what's with the Meisei Nebuchadnezzar? Don't you see that there are no Meisei Nebuchadnezzar here? He means to say, although they were here, but they were taken away. Hochanami Havu Upaninhu. Then here as well, when he's referring to the Meisei Mabel and saying that there's no Meisei Mabel, can also mean that they were here, but they were taken away. The Gemara asks, V'i Itnu Omid Beis Ha'ifni. If they were taken away, so they were taken away. Again, it should all kopon and be a raya, even if we say that there were Meisei Mabel, but it's a raya that Eretz Yisrael is Beduka, because he said that they were taken away. The Gemara answers, Nehidi Ifni Yerushalayim, Mikula Eretz Yisrael, Le'ifni. Although they were taken away from Yerushalayim, that's the only statement that was made by Rabbi Yeshua, but they were not necessarily taken away from all of Eretz Yisrael. So the machloik is between Rabbi Yochanan and Shlokish is that according to Rabbi Yochanan, there was no Mabel in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore we consider it to be Beduka. According to Shlokish, that there was a Mabel in Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael is not Beduka, and the statement made by Rabbi Yeshua was only concerning Yerushalayim, just as he said concerning the Meisei Nebuchadnezzar, where are they? They're not here in Yerushalayim. In the same way, he said also that the Meisei Mabel are no longer here in Yerushalayim because they were cleaned away. But in the rest of Eretz Yisrael, there would still be, it's not considered to be Beduka. Igad Amri, some say, to the contrary, this was brought as a raya to Reish Lakish, and he asked it as a kasha against Rabbi Yochanan to prove that the Mabel was in Eretz Yisrael. Aye Meisei Mabel, aye Meisei Nebuchadnezzar. Rabbi Yeshua said, where are the Meisei Mabel? Where are the Meisei of Nebuchadnezzar? They're not here in Yerushalayim. My love midahani havu, ani nami havu. Wouldn't appear from this that just as those Meisei Nebuchadnezzar were here, however they were taken away, that these Meisei Mabel also are not here for the same reason, because they were heard, in spite of the fact that they were here, but they were taken away. Says the Gemara, immediately that this is not a proof. Each one is as it is. The Meisei Mabel, he's saying that there's no Meisei Mabel because there was no Mabel in Eretz Yisrael. And when he's talking about Meisei Nebuchadnezzar, he means because although they were here, they were taken away. So there's no proof from this Bryce. Continues the Gemara. Eisei Rish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan. Rish Lakish asked Rabbi Yochanan Kasha to prove that there was a marble in Eretz Yisrael. Mikol Asher B'Charov Emesu. It says that everyone who was on dry land died. Everyone on the world. Bishloim Elididi Diamina Yorad Marble Eretz Yisrael Mishumochi Emesu. That's why everyone died, even those people who were in Eretz Yisrael. Ella Lizocha Mai Emesu. But according to you, why did those in Eretz Yisrael die? The Gemara answers Mishum Havla, because of the vapors, the steam that came from the waters of the marble, even though they weren't in Eretz Yisrael, but even the people in Eretz Yisrael died from the Hevel. And as Rashi explains, so even though the people in Eretz Yisrael died, but since there was no marble there, they weren't embedded into the earth, and after the marble they were taken away and buried in places which were designated for Kfura. So still Eretz Yisrael is considered to be Beduka, and there's no need to be Choshesh for Kever HaTahoin. Kid Rav Chisda, as Rav Chisda said, the Yomer Rav Chisda, Bereitzchen Kilkulu Bereitzchen Yidainu, that the Dor HaMabel, they did the Ravera with heat, that means Averas of a riot, and therefore they were judged with boiling water, that the water of the Mabel was not cool water, it was Reitzchen. Chsiv Hocha V'Yeshoichu Amayim, it says here that the waters calmed down, Uchsiv Hosam, and it says in Megillas Esther, V'Chamas HaMelech Shechocha, that the anger of the king calmed down. When we speak about Chema, of anger, that means heat, and Shechocha means that it cooled off. So here also, V'Yeshoichu Amayim means that the water cooled down. We see that it was hot water. Some say that Rabbi Yochanan, to the contrary, brought this as a kasha to Reish Lakish to prove that there was no marble in Eretz Yisrael. It says in Kol Asher B'Charov Emesu, it says that everyone who was on dry land died. That's why there was dry land. When the Pasuk says everyone who was on dry land died, Rabbi Yochanan learns it means everyone who was on dry land even during the marble died. And it's telling us that even the people in Eretz Yisrael, which was dry, died because of the Hevel. But according to you, what does it mean by those who were on dry land? There was no dry land. Everything was enveloped in water of the marble. The Gemara answers, everyone on the dry land means everyone who lived on the dry land before the marble came was now drowned in the marble. That's the way we learn the Pasuk Pshuta. Why does it refer to it as dry land? Why does it stress this? Why doesn't it just say that everyone died? Why say that it was on the dry land? That there was no gzera decreed on the fish in the sea. That everyone who was in dry land died, but not the fish in the sea. That's why it stresses becharava. But not that there was charava now, but merely to tell us that only the creatures which lived on the dry land before died now in the marble. According to Rabbi Yochanan, who says that there was no marble in Eretz Yisrael, that's how we can understand that the Rema, Rashi says this means the Zohar and the Nekeva of this kind of animal called the Re'im. Now this is an enormous animal which could not possibly have gone into the Teva. So how was this Min, how was this kind of animal, the Zohar and the Nekeva of this kind of animal saved? We say that it was standing in Eretz Yisrael, and because it was so strong and big, it didn't die from the Hevel, as Tosis explains. Ela Lamando Omar Yor, according to Reish Lakish, who says that there was a marble in Eretz Yisrael as well, Reima Heichekom, then where was the Reima, the Zohar and the Keva of the Reim, where were they standing? They couldn't have possibly been in the Teva. Rabbi Yane says, Gurioi Sichnisu B'Teva, they brought into the Teva baby Re'enim, that is Gurioi. So those were small enough to fit into the Teva. The Gemara asked for Ha'omer, Rabba Bar Bachana said in the famous Gemara in the beginning of Amoichas Asfina, Lididi Chazili Urzila Dereima Basyoima, I saw this Urzila Dereima. Tosafot learns that according to our Girsa, Urzila Dereima means, Urzila means the young one of the Re'im, of this kind of animal called Re'im, Basyoima, which was born on that very day. Rashi has a different Girsa, Urzila Diyama. Urzila means Re'im, and Diyama means which lives on the seashore. It says that it was a Basyoima, and it was born on that very day. Vahavi Kahar Tavor, and it was as big as the mountain of Tavor. Vahar Tavor Kamahavi, how big is the mountain of Tavor? Our boy in Parsi, it's 40 parsois. Mashcha de Tzavre Tlosa Parsi, the length of its neck is 3 parsois. Merabata de Reisha Parsu Palga, and the place where it rests its head is a parsa and a half. Roma Kavo or Kufso Vesocha Yardin, it let down a feces, and this stopped up the yarding for a while. So that was the size of the Re'im on the day that it's born. So even if it was very young, it couldn't have possibly been brought into the Teva. The Ben Ishchai in Sefer Ben Yehoyada says that the Gemara asked this Kasha, in spite of the fact that the Rishonim say that that memra of Rabba Bar Bachana and other memras there is not meant literally, but rather it is to be learned as something that he saw in a cholim, in a dream, or that he was using to symbolize other things. But nonetheless, the Gemara treats it as if it would be something literal, Lipil Pula and Lahagdil Torah Viyadr. Akapon, the Gemara asked that this could not possibly fit into the Teva. So we come back to the Kasha on Reish Lakish. If we say that the marble fell in Eretz Yisrael, how was it saved? Rabbi Yochanan said that its head they put into the Teva. They carried along its head so that it would be saved that way. We learned that even the resting place of its head was a parsa and a half. So even that couldn't fit into the Teva. Rather, the tip of its nose, or its gears on the side, its nose, they put into the Teva, and that's how it was saved. So Rabbi Yochanan said this. The Gemara asked, Rabbi Yochanan, your marble Eretz Yisrael. Why does Rabbi Yochanan have to say this? Rabbi Yochanan is the one who holds that there was no marble in Eretz Yisrael. It could have been saved by standing in Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara says that this he said for to answer the opinion of Reish Lakish, who says that there was a marble in Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara says, how could this save the Re'en? The Teva moves up and down. As Rashi says, because the water is not always on the same level. And Mashal explains that this means because there are waves. So if it moves up and down, he won't be able to keep his nose in the Teva and be saved. On Reish Lakish, Karnav Kosher B'Teva. Reish Lakish says that they tied his horns to the Teva, so it was always connected to the Teva. The Gemara asks the Kasha, V'ho'omer Avchizda Anshidor Amabu Baroitzchen Kilkul Baroitzchen Yidoyna. We learned that the water was boiling hot, so how could it leave merely by putting its nose in the Teva? And according to your understanding, Teva Hechisage, how did the Teva itself go? Why didn't the Teva melt? It was coated with Zephis, with tar. Why didn't it melt from the hot water? V'oig Melech HaBoshen Hechikoy. Where did Oig Melech HaBoshen stand? We know that Oig Melech HaBoshen was the Polit, the one who remained from the Mabel. Where did he stand? He couldn't have been in the Teva. How did he stand in the hot water? Elanes Nasalahem Shinitstan and Rubitsiriyat Teva. There was a miracle made for them that the water on the side of the Teva was cooled off. And Oig Melech HaBoshen stood there, and also the Re'em stood there. And as Rashi explains, once the Gemara said this, that we don't have to say any longer that they put his nose in the Teva, he was saved by standing next to the Teva because the water was cool there, and he was so tall that he wasn't drowned by the Teva, and he wasn't boiled by the water because he was standing next to the Teva and was saved through this nest of the water being cooled off on the side of the Teva. The Gemara asked the Rav Shimon ben Lakish, Nihinami Diyorad Mabul Eretz Yisrael, V'holei Pasha. According to Reish Lakish, even if we say that the Mabul came down in Eretz Yisrael, but the mason didn't remain there, so why should this be a reason that Eretz Yisrael is not Beduka from Kevra Tohaim? The Omer Reish Lakish, Loma Nikra Shmo Metzula, Shako Meisei Babel Mestalu Lusham. Reish Lakish himself said, why is Babel referred to in a Pasuk as the debt? Because all of the debt of the Mabul sunk down into Babel, and since Eretz Yisrael is higher than Babel, then the debt in Eretz Yisrael went down to Babel. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Lo Manikra Shmo Shinur. Rabbi Yochanan says, why is Babel called Shinur? Shekol Meisei Mabel Ninarushim, because all the debt of the Mabel were cast out into Babel from the Lashon of Nir, of being cast out. The Gemara answers, that if we say that there was Mabel in Eretz Yisrael, then it's impossible that some of these Meisim were not stuck in the mud of Eretz Yisrael, because the Mabel embedded them into the mud. He says a different reason why Babel is referred to as Shinur, Shemina Eretz Ashira, because it casts out its rich. Rashi says because they are not merachavim malabrias, they don't take enough pity on other people. We see that there are rich in Babel, plus adori lemashki, that the wealth doesn't remain for three generations. Whoever eats the earth of Babel, it's as if he's eating the flesh of his forefathers because of all the Meisei Mabel that gathered there, and their flesh is mixed with the earth of Babel. The Brisa says, some say that it's as if he's eating all different kinds of non-kosher creatures whose flesh was decomposed and mixed with the earth of Babel.